Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here. Praise the Lord. I will have to say, the reason I brought this back up on this Psalms 91 thing, because I just learned 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they took me off of GLC, they said that I made a statement that any man that goes off to war, you know, if they stand on Psalms 91, they could, and somebody prayed for them, they could come back without a scratch. And so many people that was watching GLC didn't like that. They heard that every show. I opened every show with that statement. And some of them didn't like it. They said, that's not true. That's a lie. My son went off to war and he got killed or he got injured. My son went off to war and he got killed or he got wounded. So that doesn't work. It works if you do it. But you know what we do? We sit at home and watch television and eat popcorn and drink soda pop and wonder why, with our feet kicked up, and wonder why our son's over in Vietnam or wherever are getting killed, or our police officers right here in town are getting shot, or down here in Dallas, five of them got killed at one time. And I bet you the day those boys got killed, I bet there wasn't nobody nowhere praying for the police officer. Not one in all of Dallas and Fort Worth. I would be willing to jump off the deep end and say, there was not a single one praying. Wouldn't you say that, Mike? Because let me tell you, if we had had just one or two or three little churches somewhere, they don't have to be 20, 30,000 strong. You just got 5 or 10 men or women, and they make it a point to pray for a specific thing. If it lines up with the Word of God, you're going to see God show up. His Word never returns to Him void. Never. Just like I was talking with a gentleman, and he said, Thurman, I don't understand why I cannot be financially blessed. It's just the last couple of weeks I was talking to this gentleman, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. You know how time goes by, right? And I was talking to him, and he said, I do not understand why. I have some friends I know that are making lots of money. They got plenty of money, drive nice cars and everything, and I can't make it financially. I just can't make it. I said, I don't even have to think to answer that question for you. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, number one, I know you don't hardly ever go to church. So if you don't go to church, I know you're not tithing. Are you tithing? Well, no, I don't have the money to tithe. I said, so you're a thief, and God ain't going to bless a thief. I said, he's gonna whap you with a double demon. I mean, is that what he said? I'm gonna curse you with a curse. Is that what he said? So a double curse, a curse, double demon, right? And who sends that beast?
The Lord.
The Lord does. So you want to know why you're not blessed? I said, you know, let me ask you a question. If you were working for me, and every time I came in, I had a cash box, and every time I come in, I find $10 or $20 or $50 or $100 missing out of that cash box. And every time it happens is right after you've been in that room. I'm going to start watching you. And when I catch you, you ain't going to like the results. Let me, how many of you in here, just be real honest, how many of you here love to have a thief in your house stealing something? Raise your hand. Do you like to have a thief walking around in your house stealing things?
No.
Not a single taker. Not a single. I can't imagine. Nobody wants somebody to steal your money from you. And yet we come to church almost every Sunday, and we do that to God. If you don't give God, somebody says, you know, all the tithing scriptures are in the Old Testament. I said, I disagree with you on that. Matthew 23:23 is in the New Testament. And Jesus is clearly telling people there that if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to tithe. You know, he said, you do tithe on some things, but you don't. Anyway, you can go back and read that when you have time. 23:23. So anyway, I've noticed over the years, just like this Psalm 91 thing, this is how this all works. Everything works the same in the kingdom. That if you are doing good things for people, you're praying for people, God's going to answer your prayer and you're going to see some things happen. You know, so, but when this gentleman told me, he said, I just don't understand why my friends are all blessed and they don't go to church and they don't tithe and they don't even serve God. I said, well, I can tell you why they're blessed. He said, why is that? I said, because they're children of the devil. They're not children of God. I said, if people that say, in other words, this is scripture, to them that say they love me and don't do what I say, they're a liar. Anybody ever read that scripture? It does say that, doesn't it? So if I'm a Christian and I'm a real Christian and I've heard that I'm supposed to tithe, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tithe. Now then, if I'm a real Christian and I've read Psalms 91, if I've ever read that psalm, and boy, have I read it, and everybody in this church has read it, if you will make Him the Most High God your dwelling place, and you will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my strength, then no sickness and no disease will come to your house. Now, that's written, is it not? So if it doesn't work for you, Max,
What are you doing wrong?
You're not praying, right? We both know there's only one prayer God can't answer, right, Max? The one that's not prayed. That's exactly right. So if you do not pray for these men, let's look at it like this. If you were a police officer or a police woman, man or woman, and you were working in Justin or Argyle or Dallas or anywhere else, if you thought for a minute that just one or two little churches could have one or two or three people every day that would be willing to voice a prayer for you and for your protection, and if you could have them do that, and you would be guaranteed that as long as those people were praying, you could serve as a police officer, you could walk amongst the devils of hell, amongst the people that are killing people, and never, ever, ever have to worry about being wounded or injured, would that interest you? Do you know we have that available to us? As sons of God. I mean, I have people all the time come in and say, my wife done this, or my children are doing this, or my whatever. I can't do anything about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I said, well, what are you talking about? I thought you were a Christian. You come to church? Oh, I am a Christian, and I tithe. But my son, he went off and he does things he's not supposed to, and so there just ain't nothing I can do to change him. What did somebody say over here? Pray, pray. There's one smart woman in the whole place. When I pray, and this is the way you and me are going to have to start looking at life. If you, in other words, this is, I've noticed this with Cheryl and I. And I've told you many a time how we set up at night and answer prayers, requests for people on email. Never seen these people. Don't have a clue who they are or nothing about them. But when we start praying for these people, we have had people that has had every kind of problem with them, themselves, their mate, their children, and everything, and they have given up. There's nothing they can do, whatever. And it's not just for sickness. It's everything. I mean, my kid is a homosexual or whatever. I mean, you name it, we've had it. But they say there's nothing we can do. I tell Cheryl, I said, there's something you and me can do. This thing says right here, if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, it's done. So you have no idea the number of prayer that Cheryl and I has got answered. When we come to the throne of God and we ask the Father in Jesus' name to forgive and we remit our sins, and then we ask the Lord to wash us in the blood, and then we ask the Lord to remit that person that we're praying for sins, because we don't have no idea what kind of sins they have, but we know they have them. I mean, it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be like that, but it is. And so you remit everybody's sin, you pray for them, and then when you take authority, and I mean, get rough with the devil. After you've remitted the sins, you remind him, devil, you're dealing with a son of God. You're not dealing with just anybody. You're dealing with a man that knows who he is. In fact, when I think about this, Mike, this would be a perfect place for you to tell how y'all handled the operation with the police. Would you come do that for me? Come up here. I'm going to give you a microphone. I want you to turn this thing. I want you to see how he does this. But I want you to see an in-depth case of a man that's just about ready to pull the plug. That's a Christian, but he doesn't have a clue who he is, and he shows up at a place with a man that knows who he is. Tell us his testimony, Mike.
Praise the Lord. All right. We have all power and authority over the devil and his demons, and it's been given to us. So when you know who you are, you know the devil has been defeated and that he's a peanut and this is already done.
Amen.
So when you see a man that is serving the community in pain, he's a Christian, but he has no idea who he is. He just happened to walk into the office, had a brand new baby in a carrier, and a little 3-year-old girl. And he comes in, and he's a sheriff's deputy. He takes that little girl and drops her on the floor in my shop. And my beautiful wife was up front to receive him. And he says, I would shoot myself in the head if this little girl right here was the best thing that happened all year to me. And it's the only reason I haven't killed myself. So Gracie comes out to the shop and gets me. And I walk in there. Good looking officer. He has a problem with his turn signal. And we walk out to his truck. And the Holy Spirit is just there. The man tells me his life story. Just pours his heart out on me. And, I asked him the first thing after he tells me. You know, it takes about 7-8 minutes of solid just gut-wrenching trouble. You know, he's everywhere he goes. Him and the rookie that he's out with get beat up. They're serving warrants and breaking up domestic dispute. He's just beat up. His wife is going to leave him. He's up for a demotion because of interdepartmental gossip and things that are going on. He's in financial trouble. He's in serious trouble. And he just wants to end it. He's done. He's, you know, a good guy, done everything he could do, serves the community, tries to go to work and come home, and he's just chewed up on all in. He's just got nothing left. There's not one spot on his body that isn't raw. He thinks he's defeated. He's done. It's over with. And this is his plight in life, to get beat up and do a job that he doesn't want to do. He desperately wants to become a police officer, but he can't go to the academy and support his family and do his current job. Just all kinds of things, wants, wishes, things he wants to better himself, and he's just in this spiral in blackness. And I check his turn signal. It's not a major problem. We get it fixed. And then I spend the next probably hour and a half talking to him about Jesus, telling him who he is in Jesus, letting him know that he has all power and authority in him because Jesus is in him, that he has Psalms 91. This is really the first officer I ever ran across that I just really stuck Psalms 91 in his heart. I said, you take this to work. You open your shift with this. You go out into the community and you command those people to submit to you. Take the cuffs and get in the back seat without altercation, without any words. I said, you're going to have the most significant, awesome dash cam footage that anybody in the department has ever seen, because people are going to slam themselves into the ground and receive cuffs. You are not going to beat up anybody or be beat up again in Jesus' name. You're going to be promoted, not demoted. You're going to get to go to the academy and become a police officer. Everything that was wrong in his life, we stood on the word. We commanded that his life reflect the kingdom of heaven, that he was able to receive every blessing in the heavenlies that is promised to him in Ephesians, that he become the man that he's supposed to become in Ephesians, that he's supposed to love his wife, that he's supposed to love his baby and be a provider and teach them the word, that he go home and read the word and believe it. This man cried. We both cried. And he repented for not being the man that he was supposed to be, not being the leader that he was supposed to be in the department, letting other people's issues affect him. This man left after we prayed probably 20 prayers specifically for things to change in his life. And he came back about 3 months later, just absolutely floating on air.
Amen.
He was...
Give the Lord some praise.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
This is the most awesome thing I've ever seen. Every prayer that we prayed, he went home. He started reading the word, teaching his kids, teaching his wife, leading the family. He took Psalms 91. He prayed himself in, prayed himself out of his shifts, prayed over his rookies that he was taking around with him. They never got beat. He came back 3 months later. He never was in one altercation in 3 months. He got promoted instead of being demoted. The sheriff's department paid for him to go to the police academy. He's now an officer.
Amen.
Everything that he wanted. His wife and the relationship was restored because the money problem was taken care of. The stress was gone. He didn't have to come home and cry about getting beat up anymore. He had the authority. He remembered who he was. All we have to do is remind people who they are, because they forget. The devil's in the business of identity crisis. He's there to try and steal your authority, because he was shown about in disgrace by our brother Jesus. He was defeated, and he was triumphed over. He was dragged through the city, defeated. And the only way that he can gain victory over us is to remove that image of victory from us. So take your victory, take your authority, and put the devil under your feet.
Amen. Amen.
It's for all of us. Thank you, Jesus.
Turn it, Michael. Y'all see why I wanted him to give that testimony at this particular place? Jesus, he deserves some glory here. There's no two ways about it. Lord, thank you. Now, this is what's wrong with all of us. This is what's wrong with our police department in Fort Worth and Dallas and all these little cities around it. We don't have nobody that believes the word. Do you see here? All we did here was take one man and his wife, just one, to have learned who they were in Christ, to pray over all these different things, and it totally changed that police officer's life, his wife's life, his children's life. He now knows who he is, and I mean, he gets things done. I mean, just think. If you know the authority and you go into work at Psalms 91 and you happen to be a police officer, and of course I've seen, as you have, if you watch the news, you watch people that are being attacked and everything else, you don't have to attack those people. All you got to do is know who you are, and you know that you have power and authority, and do just exactly like Mike showed this man what to do. And when he commanded these guys would fall down on the ground and put their hands behind them, and he'd handcuff them. He didn't have to struggle with nobody. He didn't have to come back and get beat up. He has authority over these spirits. And just think, if we could get this through somehow, some way, if we could, and I know Bill wants to help us on this, or that was his idea at first to get to do something, but we want to be able to take this plan that we have to all the police officers in the entire metroplex. And then we want to take it to the world. You know, if you can take 62 men in World War II, and of course I was in the Vietnam War, and my mother told me when I got home, she said, son, I knew you would come back safe because said Dad prayed for you every day while you were gone to Vietnam. Every day he prayed. Now then, if he prayed every day, I don't know what he was praying. I didn't know he was praying, but I knew I never was afraid of anything, nothing, but I never got a bullet wound. I wasn't injured anywhere. Several of my friends got killed, but I didn't. I came back totally, completely alive and well. Now, if these men, that when I read this article years ago, that's why I owned my TV show for years, I made the statement after I read this book, this lady that wrote this book that Dave's reading out of used to live in Brownwood, Texas. I knew her and her husband personally that wrote this book. So anyway, you read little things like this, and you read these little stories like this, and you don't really realize the impact that they're having. You just don't realize what prayer does. But when I started to tell you a while ago about the people that Cheryl and I pray for, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. We had one time, one of the ladies that called in or wrote on the email says, I want you to pray for my mother, and so on and so forth. And I told her, I said, well, you know, have your mother email me, and we'll talk about it. She called back and said, you don't understand, my mother's comatose with a stroke. I said, okay, no problem. And that's not any harder for God. You know, if he can raise Ezekiel's bunch up from the, you know, out there in the wilderness, for been dead for years, if he can put them back together, this woman, she's still alive. So it ain't no problem for God. So I just say, okay, Lord, we're going to pray. We're going to remit her sins. Did God give you and me the power to forgive sin? Well, then why don't we use it? You see what I mean? That's the first thing we need to do, because too many people sin. So Cheryl and I, we would remit those people's sins, and then we would ask the Lord to wash us in his blood and wash her in the blood. And if we get all cleaned up, he answers prayer when you get cleaned up, does he not? So we get everybody cleaned up, including her and I. We just pray, and we don't pray long prayers because we got multitudes of people to do this over. So these are pretty short prayers that we pray. But, you know, we like that one. We just said, okay, we remit her sins. We remit everybody's sins involved here. Remit our sins. Wash us in the blood. Wash her in the blood. Now, Satan, Jesus redeemed her from the curse. So I command every spirit of curse to come out of her, leave her, and go to the abyss and never come back. Do you understand? Do you hear me? I'm telling you what to do, Buster. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody says, are you talking to your wife like that? No. She's in agreement with me in that prayer. But, you know, sometimes you need to get a little rough with this enemy. You know, whenever you come in, you don't walk up and say, Mr. Devil, will you please do something good for me today? Yeah, I can just see him laugh at you. Oh, my Lord. You know, so you have to realize who we're fighting against. And it's not each other. That seems to be where we attacked each other. That's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to love each other. It don't matter what you do, this love. But anyway, this one lady had the stroke. We prayed. We got a little rough with it. I don't mind getting rough. You know, I mean, I remember the night that Cheryl walked into the house right after we'd gotten married and walked up to me, and I'm in there and studying in the study, and she says, honey, I got to sing to 1,500 people tonight. I can't talk. If you've got a wife that's fixing to sing to 1,500 people, she's talking like that, what do you think's the problem? It's a devil. It's a demon. So I just stood up and I reached over and grabbed her around the neck and I shook her. Did I do that? I said, you devil of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus. Now, so stand up a minute. I'm going to show them how I did that. Whatever, she walked in and said she couldn't talk. I just reached up and grabbed her around the neck like that and said, come at her, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus. And I said, now, honey, hit the high note. And that's exactly what we did that day. Now then, if we can do that, can you do that? Yes, anytime the enemy has power over you, just like when Mike and Gracie, when that poor guy, when that sheriff's man, officer, whatever he was, and needing to be a police officer, when he come in, he was nearly ready to kill himself. I mean, the life was over. It wasn't worth living. And the devil's sitting over saying, got this one. I've done him in. It's all over for him. Just another little day or two, and I've got him. But he happened to need a sentence. I can just see Jesus saying, I got to mess up a signal light or something. I got to get him in the mic there. See, this is a whole lot bigger than you think. So when that signal light quit working, he happened to look over there and there's a garage. Okay, so I'll run in there and see if he can fix my signal light. And of course, when he runs in there, he had no idea. But Jesus knew he was sending him into a lion's den. Because Gracie and Mike are like the rest of us should be. They're lions. Lions, the lion of the tribe of Judah is living inside there. Right, Max? So whenever they kicked those devils out, just like that one woman, after Cheryl and I, you know, that night she went and sang to all those people. I mean, when I kicked them devils out of her, when she come back home, she said, honey, I didn't have any problem with anything. I just sing all night. I said, well, it's a good thing somebody didn't come in about the time I was throwing them devils out of you. That'd probably said, grab that idiot. He's killing his wife. That's what you think, right? But I was not, I was throwing the devil out. And I wasn't, and all that, I never did even put a mark on you, did I? No, not a mark, you know. But we kicked the devil out, and she got to sing to those 1,500 people, her and her daughter, that night. Because if she'd come in with laryngitis and can't hardly talk, and in just a matter of hours, she's got to be out there singing to 1,500 people, she ain't going to be there, is she, Mary? No, she ain't going to be there. But when you learn the power and the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Just like this one woman that had the stroke, when their daughter wrote back and said, Cheryl Thurman, my mom's had this stroke and she can't do anything. She's comatose. She can't write you. I said, no problem. We need to get rid of the sin. And can we do that? Yes, we have power over sin. I mean, if you don't believe this, if the scripture says, whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven. If you have to tell me, well, I got to pray about that. I don't believe that. My other pastor said that don't work. If God says something in his word, Mary, if God says you have power to forgive sin, you shouldn't have to pray about that, should you? In other words, that is a statement from the King of Kings. That's what you can do, right? So all you got to do is voice that. I remit that person's sin. So when you say that, they're remitted, right, girl? Absolutely. So that's what Cheryl and I did to this lady. We remitted her sins, our sins, washed us in the blood. I said, now you devil of hell, you have no legal claim to her. He might have had legal claim before we got the sins taken care of, but now he doesn't have. And so we drive that devil out, command that beast to leave that woman and to go to the abyss and never come back. Now, Lord, we ask you to send the Holy Ghost and heal that woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, it's done. Let's go to the next one. That's the way we do it. Now then, so Cheryl writes back and says, it's done. I said, we forgot one little statement. Tell her, guarantee it. It's done in the name of Jesus. Guarantee it. And you have no idea the number of people that wrote us back and say, you know, that guarantee was what helped me on for the next day or the next day. And then my mother woke up and now then she's recovered and she's getting along fine. So what kind of power do we have over the enemy? All power and all authority. And so we need men and women that's going to pray for people. I don't know how we're going to do it, but somehow I'm going to get in touch, get Bill to help me or something. We're going to get in touch with the police departments. We're going to get in touch with these guys, and we're going to start showing them and telling them about these books. That this, in other words, this book that Dave read to you a while ago, that girl's name is Peggy?
Peggy Joyce.
Peggy Joyce, yeah. I hadn't seen her in years, but I went down to Brownwood one time, and she gave me, and in fact, I preached in their church, and she gave me that book that she had written about Psalm 91. And I thought, wow, this is awesome, you know, but I needed to stay with it. You know, to read a book like that and to see what it does for some people. But you know, when I went to that little town here in Texas where the 62 of these boys had went off to war and they all came back without a scratch, you know, that, I guess the other day I was sitting there going through that again and I'm thinking, you know, this Word of God, you know, this may have dumbfound you, but you know, the Word of God really does work. You would think I would have figured this out a long time ago.
I think you did.
What's that?
Paul back there. Paul.
So
Paul
what?
He's raising his
hand. Oh, yeah. You want something?
I just want to say something.
Come up here. Come up here. You got to have a microphone. Do you want to say something? Come up here, Paul. Come on, brother. Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor. I pray every day for God to make me more like Jesus. And that's a big step. And it takes a lot of faith because, you know, just me being like Jesus. But I know Mike and Gracie. I've been to their work so many times. And that story he tells, they do that every day. And so I'm going to start a new prayer, and I'm going to encourage all of you. If praying to be more like Jesus seems like a big step, then take a baby step and say, make me like Mike and Gracie, because they are doing God's work, and I love them.
Amen, Brother Paul. I'm going to tell you a story on Paul. You'd never know to look at him today that he was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. And he went through some hell over there. And one day he was flying in, and maybe it was even bad weather. And some of our guys got inside of a cave to get out of the way to be safe, and a lion came in behind them.
A leopard.
That's a big lion. It's a big kitty, any way you look at it. Is that right, Paula?
That's right.
That's the kind of kitties we don't like to pet on the head before we go to bed with, right? No. Anyway, these men, if nobody's ever been to Vietnam, you have missed something, and I'm glad you missed it. Because Paul, he had his share, and as he was flying out there, one of the guys called him on his airplane, his chopper, said, can you come over here? And he told him where he was, where there were several of them in there. He came over, can you come over here and kill this leopard in this cave? Because he's between us and the door. And he had these mini Gatling guns on this chopper. And if you ain't ever seen one of those things run, you have no idea what they do. You just touch the button, and it's two of them on there, one on each side. And those little mini Gatling guns, when you touch the button, it says, burp, and you just fired no telling how many bullets. They will shoot 6,000 rounds a minute, each one. So anyway, it's quite a little weapon. But anyway, he told the guy when he said, you know, you're in that cave, if you want me to come over there and shoot, I might kill you guys. And they said, no, there's a curve in the cave. We're behind the curve, so you can't hit us in here. We can't even see out. But the lion is between us and the door, leopard. So he goes over there and lines up on that cave, on the doorway, and he hits the button. Burp! And he says, did I get him? The guy in the cave called back and said, you cut him completely in two. That's how deadly these weapons are. And then one day, Paul was bringing his chopper back in after a gunfight, and he's being shot at, bullets flying everywhere. Tracers are just shooting. It's just unreal, the war, the firefights that people had to go through in Vietnam, any war. And he comes over there, and I don't know which one of the officers, whether he was a colonel or whatever he was, but some officer told him, he said, I think he was a captain at that time, Paul, I think. Anyway, he told him, said, Captain, you've done a great job landing that chopper. And when he did, maybe it was the general that said that. But anyway, when he said that, he knew he was shot up. He was recommending and saying how good a job he's done to land his chopper. And another officer come up and said, sir, he didn't land this chopper. He says, he jumped all over the other officer. He said, what do you mean? I watched him land this chopper. I know I saw him land it. He said, no, sir, come back here. I want to show you something. And he brought him around to the back of the chopper, and the whole back end of the chopper was missing. As everybody knows that's ever flown an airplane, a chopper don't fly without the tail rotor. It don't fly. Do they, Paul?
Not well.
But that's just another day in the life of a man that now is back here and wanting to learn to pray for officers and people. He wants to do something and he wants to be made more like Jesus. You would never know by looking at that man, he's been through hell on earth in those gunfights in those helicopters. But he has been. Just think, a normal day in Vietnam was getting shot at, beat up, blowed up, blowing your helicopter out from under you, and knowing that when tomorrow comes, you're going to be out there again. And thousands of those boys didn't come back. They died. And why did they die? Because there was nobody praying for them. If we had been praying, just think what Mike and Gracie did for that one police officer. I mean, it changed that boy's life. I mean, I can just see Paul out there. I mean, not Paul, but I can see Mike out there now and say, come in here, son. We're going to pray. We're going to take authority over that demon of hell. We're going to kick every demon out of you. We're going to pray for your money. We're going to pray for them to even pay for your everything. I can only imagine the prayers. I bet y'all prayed 20 prayers that day for him, at least, didn't you, Mike? They covered everything. So if you're having a problem and you tell me, there's nothing can be done about my problem. You come to the wrong man. Because I guarantee if you're a Christian and you call yourself a Christian and you say, I can't do anything about my situation, you don't know who God is. You have no idea who he is. You know, it doesn't make any difference. Just like this young lady, I just pointed her out, Paula, a minute ago. This girl had been sick for 20 years. Isn't that right, Paula? She had been sick 20 years. And Miss Betty, I think, works with her or something. She told her to come out here. And so she came out here and she heard the Word of God preached and taught and learned who she was and what we could do in the name of Jesus. And then started having different prayer teams pray for her. And she got healed and run around here. And now, I don't know whether it was the first, second, or third time her husband Rick came with her. One day I said, Rick, how's Paula doing? He said, Thurman, I can't keep up with her no more. He said, this girl can outrun me. Is that still the way it is?
Absolutely.
You know, I believe with all my heart, after when you read Psalm 91, you see what Psalm 91 guarantees, right? I mean, you see it. All you got to do is make him, the Most High God, your dwelling place, and then pray. When you pray and pray in authority, it will change everybody around you. Just think, just like Paul bringing that helicopter in with a tail end shot off of it. I mean, that officer, whoever he was, general or whoever he was, or major or colonel or whoever, when he told them, said, this man did not land this helicopter. But they all saw it, but they knew he did. But that one, whoever he was, that officer said, God landed this helicopter. You know, they're smart enough to realize that only God can land an airplane with no tail on it. Max, you're a pilot. And just like over there in your neck of the woods the other day, not too far away, two guys run together the other night, did they not? And they fell out of the sky and killed all three of them, right? Let me tell you for sure, nobody was praying for those three men, Psalms 91. If we pray Psalms 91 over our loved ones or anybody else, in fact, Max has got three handsome young men. Him and his wife had triplets. Now, they're all this year. This is the first year the nest is empty, and they're all going to school, college, somewhere. And if there was ever a time for you and your wife to pray Psalm 91 over those boys every day, now's the time. You know that? Because you can be assured, if you pray for them every day, that they're going to come back healthy. Ain't nothing can touch them. So those poor people said that what I was teaching wasn't true. It was true. They ain't praying. Do you know how many people probably pray for one another seriously? Do we pray? Do we pray very much? At church maybe we pray. I think about the man that was one of the most powerful men of God that I've ever heard of on this earth, besides Jesus himself. They asked him, how many hours a day do you spend praying? He said, I don't pray for hours. I just pray for a few minutes. And they said, you mean to tell me you can walk in this anointing you're walking in and you only pray a few minutes? He said, well, I pray a few minutes and then I wait a few minutes and then I pray a few minutes again. But he said, I literally pray all day, every day. Now, that man's name was Smith Wigglesworth. See, Smith Wigglesworth raised 27 people from the dead. In fact, his own wife, and when he found out that Polly had died, way back in the early, about 100 years ago, I guess, almost, he went with her, or went with the police and the firemen, whoever it was, that come got him. And they took him in a wagon, a buggy, because they didn't have cars back in those days, and took him over to London, wherever it was, and his wife was dead. And he went up, said, where do you put her? And they said, we put her in the upstairs bedroom. And so he goes up there, and there she is. She's dead. She's been dead all day. Hard, cold, rigor mortis. I know what a person feels. That's terrible when you feel somebody that hard, cold, dead. He sat down beside the bed and put his hands on her and says, death, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I command life back in my wife. And she sat up and said, Smith, what are you doing calling me back from the Lord? I was at home with the Lord. What are you doing? Have you heard that story, Paula?
Yes, sir.
You heard that story, too? Just think. He said, Polly, I can't live without you. She said, yes, you can. Said, it's my time. I was in the arms of Jesus. You have to release me and let me go back home. So finally, he said, okay. If you're sure that you're okay with going home and leaving me here by myself, she said, you're going to be okay. Jesus will take care of you. Now release me back into his arms. And he said, she said, okay, I released my wife back into the arms of Jesus. And her little body went, and she is hard, cold, stone dead. Just think, if he can pray, if he stays prayed up like that, and he can pray and bring his wife back from the dead, surely, if we pray right, we can pray and protect these police officers and these men of God, the sheriffs and everything, where that we will, we as soon as we get this going, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to get this going, and we're going to get the chaplains. In fact, I happen to think of a chaplain I know that would help me with this. I want to get all the police officers that have a chaplain in their place. I want them to take their chaplain, and then I want them to take men that's coming into work that'll come in and go in and kneel down in the chapel and pray a prayer of protection, Psalm 91. If there's nothing else, read it. Until they learn how to do it, just read it. Read Psalm 91 over the boys that are out there. And I'm going to guarantee you that if we will start doing that, and they will start doing that, by the end of this year in the Metroplex area, they can say, you know, a new record. Not one single police officer injured or wounded or harmed for the whole year in the Metroplex. Now, can we do that? Yes. If God can take up 62 men, of course, I realize we've got many more soldiers, police officers than that, but if God can take 62 men and send them all over the world in World War II, all over the world, and those men are being prayed for by churches and people, they're voicing their prayers every day for these people, and every one of those people that was in those prayers, every one of them, not one single injury, and every one of them come back totally safe and totally without harm, with no damage whatsoever. If God can do that in a world war, surely he can take care of a little area like the Metroplex. Wouldn't you think so?
Yeah.
So what are we going to do?
Pray.
We're going to pray. Yes, we're going to pray. So what we're going to do, hopefully in the next few days, we'll try to get some of these things, these cards or flyers or whatever. We're going to use something, but we want you to put those in your pocket, and we want you to pray. And here's the thing, too. Don't forget who the enemy is and the power. You notice Mike said several times that Luke 10, 19, and 20 says he has been given total power and authority over the enemy. Is that right, Mike? So if you've been given total power and authority over the enemy, then we need to know that when we speak to the devil, once our sins are remitted, he has got to go away. And if he don't, we double up our fist and poke his eyes out. And I mean, have you ever done that? In fact, here a while back, me and Cheryl was laying there in the bed, sound asleep in the wee hours of the morning, and she was asleep and I was asleep, and all of a sudden, something startled me, and I opened my eyes, and here I am in the dark of the bedroom in the wee hours of the morning, and there is a man standing beside the bed laughing at me. I just reached up and grabbed him like I was going to drag him down in the bed with me, and I punched him out. but there was nobody there. It was some kind of a vision. And then all of a sudden, when I'd done that, I looked up there, and there's one about 3 foot long laying just below the ceiling above my bed, and he was just laying there laughing at me, and I just sat up in the bed and reached up and got him and drug him down to the bed and punched him out. When I did that, I kicked. When I did, I hit Cheryl. That woke her up. She said, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "I just had two attackers." She said, "What was you doing?" I said, "I'm knocking them out." She said, "Boy, I feel safe in bed with you." You don't want to be like my cousin years ago. There was I still have a cousin, saw her the other day. And we went down when my kids were, Tim's 41 years old, but when he was just a little bitty kid about this big, him and Amanda, we went down to see them. They'd just been doing their house, and they'd bought a house down in close to Austin. We went down there to see them, and while we were there, my cousin was telling me, she said, one morning after we was working on the house, she said, my husband gets up real early and goes to work at the post office. And so she said, I was laying there in bed, and I just had that sensation somebody was looking at me. Have you ever had that? Yeah. So she said, I raised up and looked, and right in the doorway, the moonlight was coming through the window, illuminating the doorway, and there stood a fully dressed woman right in my bedroom. She said, I just grabbed the cover and threw it over my head. And I thought, oh, Lord. Then she thought, well, if she kills me, I want to see it when it's happening. So she threw the cover back off, and she was gone. So she said, I got up, and I turned every light on in the house, everything went everywhere, and there was nothing unlocked, nothing could be found nowhere. She said, a few weeks later, I was visiting my neighbor up the street, and when I walked into the hallway, there's a picture, and it's a picture of this woman that was standing in my bedroom. She said, I looked up at that, and I said, who is that woman? And the lady said, oh, that's the woman that used to own the house you bought. She said, what happened to her? She said, she died. But there was that spirit still there. So we are at her house this night, and she's telling us this story. So when we go upstairs to go to bed, me and Betty and the kids, both kids jumped right between me and Betty. They got into bed, and they said, Dad, especially Amanda, she said, Dad, I ain't sleeping by myself tonight. Tim said, Dad, I'd rather sleep with you and Mama too. So he wasn't near as afraid as she was. And I said, okay, kids, this is a good place to teach y'all something. I said, the Word of God says we have all power and all authority over these spirits. I said, I don't deny that they're spirits, but I said, we do not have to be afraid of anything. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. So I said, Satan, we went up there to the bedroom. I said, Satan, a son of God has moved into this house. I have taken authority and possession, and from this day forth, I command you in the name of Jesus to get out of this house and go somewhere to the abyss, and don't you ever re-enter this house. Even after I'm gone, I send angels and cover this thing in the blood. He gives his angels and gives them charge over me. Is that what he said, Psalm 91? Yes. I said, you devils of hell, you're out of here, and you will not come back in Jesus' name. Oh, well, the other day, Tim's now 41. We were down at my sister's house, and my cousin was up there here a while back. And as we were talking, I said, Butch, you know that woman that you saw in the hallway that time? Yeah. I said, after we were there that time, after you told us the story, I said, have you ever seen her again? She said, no. As a matter of fact, said, I saw her two or three times till y'all came. But after y'all came and you spent the night with us, I've never seen her again. How much authority do we have over those spirits? What is it you don't understand about all? When you speak in the name of Jesus, this is not the way you want to do it. Somebody, we were talking this last few days about an experience I had over in Louisville, and it was during January, and it was snowing that day. I'll never forget, snowing like crazy. And there was a lady had a 16-year-old son that he had a tumor behind his eyes, and he'd gone blind, couldn't see anything. So I went over there in the snow. I went in the house, in a place there on Main Street in Louisville, and I met with her and that boy. That little boy couldn't see a thing, not a thing. I told her, I said, there's a sin issue somewhere that's causing this. Then I found out her husband was a Buddhist or something. He was not a Christian. I said, okay, that's probably what allowed this to happen. But I said, I'm going to take authority over these spirits, and I'm going to cast these spirits out. And so I remitted all their sins, and I began to pray over this boy and everything. And overall, I guess from the time I got there till I got to the first break was probably 2 or 3 hours. I used to not have the faith I have now. I mean, when I speak now, I just say, hey, it's done. I'm like, Mike, hey, get out of here, you devil. This is the name of Jesus. This is done. It's written in the book. Yeah. Any of you sit there and argue with them, is there, Mike? Just tell them where they got to go. I prayed for the boy. I prayed for him a good hour with my hands on his head, commanding these spirits that causing the blindness to leave and everything. And finally, I said, I got to have a break. I got to take a break. Got to have a glass of water or something. The lady said, can I pray for him? I said, sure, no problem. She goes up there behind him and she puts her hands on his head and say, Mr. Devil, will you please leave my son? I told her, forget it. I said, that didn't do nothing to the devil. I said, he knows you have no knowledge of who you really are in Christ. So I said, you know, no problem. So anyway, I prayed for him another hour after she did, after I got a drink of water. I prayed for him about another hour. And I finally said, okay, I got a release in the spirit. Everything's good. He can see. He said, well, sir, I can't see. I said, oh, yeah, you can see. You just don't know it yet, but you can see. About 3 weeks later, I walked into the house over there, and Amanda, she said, Daddy, I just got this phone call today from Miss So-and-so over in Louisville. I said, oh, yeah, that's the lady who had the 16-year-old boy. She said, yeah, she called to tell you that he can see fine. So anyway, I stood there for a minute, and I jumped up and down, started screaming. I said, honey, don't you show any emotion? She said, Daddy, I get these kind of phone calls for you every day. She said, it's not very emotional. I thought, what a problem to have, huh? Now, that's the problem we all should have. We should be praying for people. You know, that's just like yesterday. I had a phone call from a lady, and as I'm talking to her, and she says, my husband won't do anything I tell him to do. I said, Lord, how many times have I been through this? I said, ma'am, would you please stop telling your husband what to do? Would you just let him run the show? And she said, but I have to tell him what to do. I said, no, you don't. I said, you know, what you need to do is pray and ask the Lord to send an angel or the Holy Spirit or something to soften and change his heart. Well, I said, you can't change your husband's heart. I said, nobody can change her heart but God. I said, I talked to her for, I know, 30 minutes. And finally, he was on there. He come on there. They were both there together. And I'm telling him what to do. And he said, Thurman, where did you learn all this stuff? I said, reading God's word. I learned it reading God's word. I said, but you know, you have to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, it works. He says, I said, well, how did he ask that question? He says, I wish I could remember how. Now, she asked the question, doggone Lord, bring it to my attention. I can't remember exactly how she phrased it. There was something that she said that the Lord gave me the answer for it, and now I can't think what it was, but it was, maybe he'll bring it to my attention in a minute, but right now I've completely forgot what it was. But, you know, when you get a husband and a wife on there together, and you're talking to them, and you know how a man thinks, and you know how a woman thinks, you know, the woman's got to be there to tell you how to do it. They think, just to let your husband do it. I got tickled at Cheryl yesterday, day before yesterday, I guess it was. When it was so cold outside, we were going to go uptown to maybe get something to eat or something, I think. And it was cold. And so as she walked by, she said, honey, I've been outside. She hasn't been. She said, honey, it's cold outside. And she's looking at a computer. I said, yes, I know it's cold. She said, make sure you get your coat. Okay. So I went to my office and got my coat, put my coat on. She said, now be sure and zip it up because it's cold outside. Aww. I just have to think, Lord, this girl is just trying to take care of me. That's all she's trying to do. But see, you know what that does to a man? You know what you really, it may not work on every man the same, but it works on most of us the same. That whenever your wife is trying to take care of you, she's mothering you. And you girls, that's just built into y'all. You're just made like that. You can't change it. Is that right? She was trying to take care of me, and I'm over here, and I put my coat on. We go out to get something to eat, and I'm over here thinking, you know, now, how did I make it 78 years without this boy? That's what men are thinking. They're thinking, gee whiz, how did I make it without this girl telling me how to do it?
You would really hate it if I wasn't here.
Oh, I'm sure I would. Yeah, so she's a good girl. She takes good care of me, I will have to say. Praise the Lord. But you know, when you think about how men work and how women work, and that's the way women are. Do you girls know that's how you are?
Amen.
Are you a mother type?
Yes.
Yes, God made you like that, yeah. And the men, we think, hey, we're macho. We don't need nobody telling us what to do. We can run out in the ice and snow and ain't no problem. So, but anyway, whatever that girl asked me, I was wishing I would think about it, because it was her husband just died laughing in the background when I told her what she needed to do. He just laughed. I can't think what it was now. But anyway, that's when he asked me, he said, where did you learn all this stuff? I told him I learned it reading God's Word. But you know, to make everything serious, if we can get everything together that we need and we can start working with the local police officer, I think that's where we should start. We should start with the police here in Argyle, and we should work with them, and we should show them these examples in Psalm 91. We need to find out if these men are Christians. Some of those guys are Christians, just like this guy that Mike prayed for. He was a good Christian. He just didn't know who he was. Is there a bunch of those guys out there? Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of them out there. There's a bunch of women out there, too, that don't know who they are either. How many of you in here have ever heard the testimony of Margie Mayfield? Okay, so you know what she did. You know, now that's a real woman. You know, when the number one murderess and rapist scoots in beside you with a gun in your back and says, scoot over, put your hands under your thighs, and don't say a word or I'm going to kill you. When she slides over and he slides in, she reaches up and puts her hand on his shoulder and said, look, mister, you're not in control here. I am, in the name of Jesus. Now, let me tell you, would you say that's a woman? That's a woman. I mean, that's a woman deluxe. But, you know, I mean, to tell you, you know, but she, how could she, what she, if y'all remember, what scripture did she have memorized to get there? Well, I don't think so. It was Ephesians. It was the entire book of Ephesians. The whole book of Ephesians, all six chapters, she had it memorized. Now, you see what power the Word of God carries, Max? So it makes no difference if it's Psalm 91 or if it's Ephesians. It's got power in it if you quote it, right? Somehow, some way, we're going to start, and I'm just going to ask everybody in here as you go home today and this week, wherever, as you're driving home, pray a prayer of protection for the police in the local area. Pray a prayer of protection for you on the way home and back. It couldn't hurt, could it?
No.
With all the different kind of people that's out there, the drunks and everything else, we need all the protection we can get. So since we're not seeing a lot of protection going on, don't you think that if we just start praying just on our own every day, once or twice a day for protection, don't you think that as you pray those prayers, shouldn't that make a difference in the things that are happening out here, Max? Yes, sir. Yes.
Sorry about Psalm 91.
Sure, yeah.
When I was in boot camp, I read this story where this guy was on point in Vietnam. A point means guy's way out here, and here's the rest of them back here. And he got hit. Well, they pulled him back, and firefight ensued. Anyway, the medic, he rips open the guy's flak jacket, rips open his shirt, and there's no blood. So he flips it all back, and sure enough, there's a hole right through his flak jacket. And there's a hole in his shirt, but not out the side, out the back. He reaches in the guy's pocket, and I've seen a picture of that Bible. It's a New Testament, the old Gideon New Testament they used to issue us. Remember those, little green job? Mm-hmm. It went through the whole New Testament, and the point of the bullet stopped on Psalms 91, verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. He said, thanks, Mom, because his mom had, and she said, I'm going to be praying this prayer, verse over you, this Psalm over you every day that you're out. So when I came back, I asked some friends, my mom, well, I was at a church, and I said, now, I don't understand. A lot of the guys, when I went over there, didn't come back. I said, what happened? He said, well, did your mom pray for you? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, maybe their moms didn't pray for them.
Amen.
And so anyway, that was it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So do you think it pays good dividends to pray?
Yes.
Everything we've done today is to try to get you to realize the importance of praying.
Yes.
If you don't pray, guess what's going to happen?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's the only prayer God can't answer, is the one you don't pray. So you need to learn to pray. Pray for your mate. Pray for your children. Pray for everything. Oh, and by the way, something I want to throw out right now. I was going to do this at the very beginning, and I forgot it. Now, very few of you would probably have this problem. If you're a homeowner and your house is paid for, you may have this problem. Your taxes are due at the end of this month. Do you all know that? Okay, so some people forget, you know, that their taxes are due. I know that Cheryl and I, we start at the beginning of the year and start saving for all year to pay our taxes, because they come due December or January the 31st every year. And the thing I hate about taxes is that if you don't pay it when it's due, the penalties go up and up and up and up, and they're ridiculous what they go up to. So I just thought I was going to throw that out in case somebody had forgotten. But if you have not paid your taxes, your property tax, they are due and payable without penalty till the 31st of this month. After the 31st of this month, then you have to pay a penalty. So if you haven't paid your property taxes, I haven't paid mine, but I'm going to in a couple of weeks. I like to keep my money right to the end. I use it just as long as I can, and then I take it and go pay the property tax. So, but if you haven't paid your property taxes, make sure you pay it and don't have to worry about that penalty, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for showing us your word and how your word works. Lord, I thank you that you give us the ability and the privilege to pray the prayers of faith for our loved ones, for our children, and know that you will show up and do great and wonderful things, and there ain't nothing impossible through prayer. Nothing. You told us to pray in agreement and believe, and it will happen. So, Lord, I thank you for giving us these promises, and thank you for telling us never to give up, never to back off, but to stay firm until we get our answer. So, Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for bringing all these boys back home from the war. Thank you, Lord, for protecting the police officers in the area, as all of the area. Lord, I ask you to bless these boys and girls that are fighting for us here, that you'll protect them and their families. Watch over them. Keep them safe from the evil one. Keep them safe from physical harm. And just do a great and wonderful work on all of our officers and military men and everything, every man, woman out there that's protecting us from these evil ones. We ask you to bless them and protect them and keep them all safe at the airports and everywhere. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you and worship you for keeping people safe, not letting people shoot guns in airports, keep people safe. If anybody does get through with a gun, they can't hit nobody with it. Well, Lord, send an angel to keep those bullets from hitting a human being. And, Lord, thank you for keeping those devastating things down. Lord, I praise you and thank you for being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and thank you that you will move on our heart, that we will pray for not only the police officers here in the local area, but we'll pray for the guys wherever we live and in the city of Dallas and Fort Worth and all the little areas around the Metroplex. And we ask you to keep every one of these men and their families safe from physical harm and from evil. Lord, and we thank you that we'll get people to do this and stand with us. And next year, we're going to declare already that by the end of this year, at the end of next year, there will be no fatalities or no injuries, period, of police officers in the entire Fort Worth, Dallas Metroplex. And what a testimony that's going to be when they learn how it happened, that the churches are praying. So, Lord, thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.